of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's going to be our theme for today as we speak on the subject, fresh air. Fresh air. Have you ever been at a place where you want to just get out and get a breath of fresh air?
Yes.
Amen. That's what we're going to try to talk about this morning. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for blessing us to be in this place at this time. God, to be encouraged. We've been talking about spiritual breathlessness, how that life sometimes will leave us at a point where we just feel like that we're out of breath and can't go on. But God, thank you for the fresh air of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your abundant love. And even in our worst moment and at our worst time, you still love us. God, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy today, for having mercy on me and allowing me to see a new day and to bring me into this day that I have a light to shine and a life to live. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Fresh air. Now, I want to tell you that I listened to NPR, a person by the name of Terry Gross. She has a program called Fresh Air, and I'll listen to that sometimes. And they'll interview people, and what they're trying to do is to bring about subjects that will give you new light or new understanding regarding a particular issue. Some of it I don't agree with. Most of it I find myself feeling other ways about it. But what they're trying to do is to get you out of the norm of your thinking. You can get so wrapped up in your situation that you feel like that's your agenda for life. So where now you're just stumbling from one problem to the next, waiting on something miraculous to happen. And God is not the God Almighty. Now he's the emergency exit from your problem. Life will put you in that position. Life will put you in a place where you'll be asking a lot of questions, not understanding what it is that you're going through, and more importantly, why am I going through it? Why am I having to face this issue in my life? And if you could just get above the atmosphere of the problem and dealing with that particular issue, if you could just raise yourself up spiritually just a little bit in order for you to see that God is still good. God did not fail, even though you're dealing with failure or you're dealing with circumstances that are beyond your control. When you can rise above that, when you can get a breather, when you can take in what God has for you and then start realizing that he did not bring you this far to leave you now. Now, King David has got a problem. He's got a real big problem. It's one thing to have your enemies chasing you around and trying to take your life. But it's another thing when people in your own company and the army that's supposed to be supporting you, now they're turning against you. They were talking about stoning him. And we'll get into the issue and the circumstances that surrounded that. But they were talking about stoning him because they were grieved. They were up. Have you ever had folk get upset at you? Now, you would want to bristle back at them if you feel that their being upset at you is unwarranted. Right? But it's another thing when you know you're in the wrong. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble, but every person sitting in this room, you can be wrong. The quicker you tell yourself that, the better off you're going to be. You won't be as frustrated at other folk and blaming them for the wrong that you did. When I'm wrong, I feel like the quickest way out of a problem is to admit I'm wrong. And you get that breath of fresh air as soon as you do what the Bible calls confession and repentance. The problem that God has is for folk to think that they're always right, never get to the place where they can be corrected. Am I messing with somebody? See, because when you get to that place, there's really no need to come to church. We can't help you. There's really no need to say that you're going to worship, because now you're saying that you are already perfect, that you don't need any improvement. And see, God can't help you. He does not want your praise because you don't really see the need for him. Lord Jesus, am I waking somebody up? But when you get to the place where you acknowledge God is my strength, he is the one that helps me. And no matter what you do in life, you're going to run into these problems and you're going to have people to blame you, and you can't just throw in the towel. I don't care anyway. Amen. Am I dealing with something that we face today? Amen. And the problem with our society is that we got too many people that are throwing the towel, that'll give up, and they'll say, you know, but the heck with it. They say worse than that, but you know. If you could just get to a place where you can spiritually breathe again, get you some fresh air, come back and deal with the same issue and know that God is with you. Amen. David encouraged himself in the Lord. By the way, his name means beloved. In some Hebrew texts, they use it as uncle or a relationship. Amen. And he was beloved of God. He knew that. He knew that no matter how many times he messed up, the Bible talks about the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. All right. Amen. That's because they recognize that God is a restorer. Anybody in the house today? So when you recognize that, when you start understanding that God is moving, regardless of what you're facing, you will be able to go through life with a better perspective and with a joyful countenance. Are y'all in the house? So when we look at this, when we start recognizing discouragement and when it happens and why it happens, a couple of things. Number one, we are reacting to tragedy. We're facing something that we've never faced before. Now, what's going on? In this passage, we find that David and his men have been over in the land of the Philistines. I'll tell you in a minute how they got there. They're over in the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines have said to them, we don't want you to go fight with us. You got to go back to your place. So they go back to Ziklag, where their families are, and they find out that Ziklag has been invaded by the Amalekites. They've taken their family, they burnt down the village, and now they're distraught. They're wondering, what in the world are we going to do? We don't have our kids. We don't have our families. Our homes have been destroyed. What are we going to do? Tragedy. I wish I could stand here and tell you today that you will never have to face a tragedy, but I'd be lying to you and you knew it. You would know that. So tragedy is one of those things that no matter how bad it gets, we still know this basic thing. We know that all things work together for good. For good. For good. For good. For good to them that love God. So all you got to do is make sure you still love God. Do you love Jesus today? If you love God, some way, somehow, God's going to work that into the fabric of your life to give you this supernatural ability to trust in him no matter what the circumstance may bring. Second thing that happens to us is disappointment. We had an appointment with something to happen and it didn't happen. We applied for a job and it just didn't happen. You know, we planned for our retirement to be over $300,000. And it just didn't happen. We lucky if we got 1,000 because life happened. Anybody in the house today? So when you start recognizing the things that you wanted to happen and that did not happen, now you're disappointed. Man, I thought by this age in my life, I'd be way better off. Amen. Let me tell you a lesson that some of us seniors are having to learn. You know, they got this thing, what they call set retirement date, right? And you constantly find yourself having to move it out just a little bit further. Either that or push carts at Walmart, you know. It's called a disappointment, folk. You're going to have those disappointments. Don't feel bad when they come. They will come to take your breath away. But when you get over into a place where you can, oh, yeah, this is what God has for me. This is what God has for me. And then the other thing is failure. This is when we know we've done wrong. We fail. And I've often said this. I'm going to say it one more time. It's one thing for you to have failed. It is another thing for you to label yourself as a failure. Amen. That is not your name. Amen. Yes, acknowledge that you failed. Do not call yourself a failure because you don't have that authority. As a matter of fact, the God who breathed life into you, if he thought you were worthless, he wouldn't have given you another breath to live this day. Therefore, you can say that this is the day the Lord has made. I will what? Rejoice. And anybody listening, anybody hearing what I'm saying, refuse to call yourself a failure. Yes, I messed up. And I feel bad about it. But that my life does not equate to that problem. Am I helping somebody? I know I'm helping me. Amen. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. What did it say? Let's go back to this just a minute, because people think when you talk to yourself, you're crazy. No, it depends on what you're saying to yourself. Look at somebody. It depends on what you're saying. Sometimes you got to talk. What are you going down this road for? You stand in front of your closet and you're trying to figure out what to wear. Did I wear this yet? You're talking to yourself. It depends on what you're saying. Now, if you're saying crazy stuff, then yeah, I'd go see somebody about that. But if you're saying the right stuff and trying to get back to where you need to be, there's nothing wrong. Look at it. It says David encouraged who? He's talking to himself. Now, if somebody has rocks in their hand and they're getting ready to stone you, you need to be talking to yourself. Right? But the last part of that really speaks of his faith. He didn't just speak to himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. Sometimes while you're here and I'm preaching or the choir singing or something else is going on, you and God are having these little side conversations, right? You and God are talking about some real deep stuff that he's been wanting to move you into, but now you're at a point where you got to make a decision. And when you can start breathing in what God is saying to you, and you can start taking in what the Spirit is telling you, and all of a sudden, yeah, you heard the message. Yeah, preach a good message. Thank you for that. But I heard something else. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me wake you up. Let me give you a cold slap on the face, okay? You're never going to be at a place where you're flawless, but you can be complete. You're never going to be at a place where you don't do anything wrong. Like I told you, there are folks out there with a permanent address in the back of the church. They're not going to do anything else that's wrong, but they ain't going to move either. Amen. But those of you and those of us who are in the land of the living, we're moving around. We're going to stumble. Amen. And this is what happened to David. This is what happened to him. Let's move forward. Let's talk about this. We talked about the discouragement that comes through tragedy and disappointment and failure. He's having to live through this time now. Here's some things that you got to understand and you got to take to heart, that good people make bad choices. Amen. Amen. You've heard people say, he was a good man. She was a good woman. What in the world they do that for? They made a bad choice. They made a bad choice. You see, David had this problem where King Saul, who was the existing king, wanted to take his life. And David was the anointed king. He knew that God was going to move him into that place, but until that time, Saul, who was filled with jealousy, wanted to take David out. Now, there was no way that that was going to happen. God was not going to allow it. But it didn't mean that he was not going to come this close. At some point, he said, I barely got by the skin of my teeth. All right? But he's at this place now where he has to make a decision. And so if you read 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, it says he pondered this thing in his heart. He didn't even tell anybody. But now he's got a conversation going on in his heart. And he tells himself this: one of these days, Saul's going to catch up with me and he's going to kill me. He's going to take my life. And there's nothing better for me to do than to go over into the land of the Philistines. Problem. That's not where God has sent him. He's going himself. Can I tell you what my grandma used to say when we would get in the road and play? Y'all never did that, okay. There they go. They done fired themselves out there in the road again. You need to get a switch and wear them out. And then when mama started whipping us, you need to stop whipping them kids. David is anointed for the land of Israel. He's not anointed for the land of the Philistines. And not only that, he gets himself over there with his 600 men and their families. He gets over to the land of the Philistines. Now he's saying, as they get ready to go to battle, we're going to fight with you. Problem was, they were getting ready to fight their own fellow Israelites. Good people make bad choices. Some of the best people in the world that have made bad choices, after that bad choice, they say to themselves, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. Now you're seeing the context of 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1, or verse 7 rather, when he saw everything that's now coming his way. One thing about it, you can choose because you've got a free will. You cannot choose the circumstances that follow. You don't have any choice over the repercussions. You make that choice and you got to live with it. Good people make bad choice. Second thing is, life is filled with struggles. Even if you don't make bad choices, sometimes life will choose you. Amen? What gets me about the book of Job when you start reading it, and I'm not going to get into all the reference of it, Satan had nothing better to do than to travel throughout the earth seeing or finding out. He says, I'm going to and fro, and I'm seeking whom I may devour, or seeking a next target. You think about a lion that's on the prowl, and the imagery has been used about a lion that's on the prowl. Now Satan is trying to go about and seek whom he may devour. He saw Job, a righteous man. Saw Job, a man that believed in God. And he said, that's the target. You see, he wanted to pick on him, but he couldn't because God had put a hedge around him. Hallelujah, somebody. So the devil had to get God's permission to pick on Job. And so Job, in his trial and in his struggle, he says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I wish, as Paul Harvey said, Job, sooner or later, he found out the rest of the story. It's not going to be that way always. It's not going to be this way always. Life is not filled with a bunch of struggles, and that's all there is. It's got a plenty. Don't get me wrong now. You're going to have your share of it, and I believe that's in the context of what Job is saying, but you have some good days where God will bring you up for air. God will tell you you can breathe again. Amen? Have you had that? One day of trial, next day the Lord brings you through, gives you victory, and tells you to keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. And I'm almost out of time. Amen. I'm almost out of time. Here's one I found out. And I know a lot of people on Facebook trying to get new friends. Number one, some of them you don't need, okay? And number two, some of them going to let you down. I'm going to friend you, and then you unfriend them. That's the way it works sometimes. They're not always reliable. Here it is that the people, they volunteered to come out and join David, right? Which meant when you cry, we're going to cry. Where you go, we're going to go. And the consequences, we're all going to face it together. But when their families were taken hostage and they thought they were dead, they got so upset. They got so angry. Don't look around now because some of your family members are still mad at you. Don't look around. Don't look around. You give yourself away. How could you let this happen? Don't look around. Don't look around. Don't look around. What were you thinking? Huh? They still love you, but they're mad at you. They're going to speak to you after a while. You know how it is when you kind of, how you doing? And you don't really want a response back. You're just trying to be, let's move on. That's enough with that. All right. But they're not always reliable. You can't always depend on them. Sometimes it's because of their human limitations. But here's the last truth. God is always available. He's always available. He will never let you down. Now, he'll let you go through some stuff. Amen. Don't get me wrong now. Amen. God's not going to be pulling you back from every storm and every trial. He'll let you go through the storm. But I tell you what. It's going through that you learn that it's better to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Do I have any witnesses here? All right, I gotta hurry up and finish preaching. Now, I want to help somebody out theologically wise. Okay, I'm going to help you out with this. You need some basic things to know about God. And they're not really that deep, but they are that deep. And I want to take you to this one. First of all, God is all powerful. Amen. And you're saying, duh, I know that. Sometimes when we are praying, we're really saying God is more powerful. In other words, he's bigger than my problem. He's bigger than my issue. The fact is, when I say God is all powerful, nothing else has any energy without God. As a matter of fact, whatever is operating against you got its power from God. Now, you got to get this. You got to get this. And I know you said, wait a minute, preacher. You mean the bad things that work against me? See, we got this thing called free will, right? Which means because we have a free will, and a free will is anything other than God's will. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So I got this thing called free will, but my free will had to come from the fact that God gave me the authority. I don't want to lose you on this, because the next time you pray, I don't want you telling God, Lord, you're bigger than my problem. The problem had no energy without God. And because the problem has come, he must have a purpose in it. You will never see God's purpose until you know that he is all powerful. Anybody in the house today? You got to look beyond the struggle and say, wait a minute, I see God doing something through this. I see God working in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. God is not just more powerful, he is all powerful. Amen. Even the bad things, God can work them out. Amen. You get this. Just write it down for right now. You get it after a while. Amen. Second thing is, God loves his creation. Of course he does. God loves, but now if he loves his creation, he's going to do something because of that love, as a result of that love. Unlike the deist, you know, Thomas Jefferson and the rest of them, the deist that said God made everything and left it up to us to run it. Good luck with that, okay? Yeah, God gave you life, but he's going to let you run it. Yeah, let me know after about a few days how that works out. He loves his creation, which means if he loves his creation, then he's still connected to it. Do y'all see that? Okay, just write it down for right now. You'll figure it out later. Amen. And then the last thing, God reveals his glory. He reveals his grace. At some point, whatever you're facing, if you're faithful, God's going to reveal himself. And if I don't say anything else in this message, whatever you're facing right now, God must reveal himself to those who are faithful. Amen. Y'all get this? Just write it down for right now. You don't have to say, aha, I got it. No. This might not be your aha moment. But these things will never change about God. They will never change. He is all powerful. God loves all of his creation. And at some point, he is going to reveal his grace. Let me break this down to you. Here's how David got to his fresh air. Here's how he got to the place where he could breathe again. Number one, pray for direction. While everybody still had rocks in their hands, saying, we're going to get you. We're going to get you. David went into prayer. How quickly, we don't know. The Bible said he called for the priest who was with him. And he, as he called for the priest, he said, bring the ephod, which was some type of cloth or garment, probably one of the priestly robes. He brought that to him, and David began to pray for direction. He needed something to remind him that God is still available. He needed something to hold on to when everything else seemed to be going wrong. And so he went to the priest, and he said to him, bring me the ephod. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God for direction. And so as he prayed, and Abiathar was the priest, as he prayed, he was able to hear from God. And God didn't just say, I'm with you. God says, pursue after them. Amen. And you're going to recover everything. My Lord, have mercy. We'll shout on that one next Sunday. Amen. Amen. Then secondly, it's one thing to pray and then say amen and just go on back and do nothing. It's time for action now. You got to follow up with some action. You got to step up and say, okay, God, I prayed. You give me the answer. Now let me do my part. The things that are hidden belong to God. The things that are revealed belongs to us. If he tells you pursue, what are you doing sitting down? I love to hear people say, I'm going to get me a job. When? You got any applications in? Matter of fact, show up at the job site where you want before the man gets there. Amen. Show up and say, I've been waiting on you. Here's a cup of coffee for you. Now take my resume. Take my application. Anybody in the house? You got to follow up on your prayers. You just can't pray and say, okay, I'm going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord going to make a way out of no. No, he ain't. If he gives you direction, he going to make a way through the directions that he gives you. Amen, somebody. All right, and then the last thing, and we're going to close, is receive God's strength. As they began to pursue, something happened to some of the troops. And this is my main point in this whole sermon right here. I've been waiting to get right here, amen, all morning long. Now, here's the point. Here's the thing that happened. Some of those that were with David, he had 600 men, 200 of them got tired. So when they got by the brook Besor, they just gave out. And I'm just wondering if it wasn't the same ones that picked up those rocks in the first place. Talking about, we're going to start. All their energy was spent on being mad. And so 200 had to stay there, couldn't go any further. But when they got tired, David got fired up. How many of y'all ever been in the country and you just took a break for a little while and you got what was called your second wind? When you get that second wind, you are going not on your physical ability, but God seems to be guiding your footsteps. You can step a little bit higher. You can run just a little bit longer because you are trusting in the living God. And here's what Isaiah says about it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as an eagle. I can't fly, but I can, amen, I can believe I can, amen. I believe, yep, missed it. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The folks that are fainting, they don't have their second wind yet. Amen. And you might be tired, but don't faint on me. Don't pass out on me. Take in a deep breath and say, God is good. And when you take in that deep breath, he's going to give you his strength, his ability, so that now you can say, I can do all things through Christ who does what? Who strengthens me. If you believe it, give the Lord a hand clap today. Amen. I preached overtime. Y'all let me preach overtime. Amen. But I'll tell you what, God is still good. Fresh air. That's what we need. Fresh air is what we need. In the stale society in which we're living in, people are saying things that die. No, it's not. It's coming to life because we get our life from God. Amen. If things are coming to an end, that means a beginning is in sight. Amen? You got to trust in God and know that he did not bring you this far to leave you. Now, I'm going to ask that we all stand before I preach again. I'm about fired up this morning. I got some fresh air, Carol, and I got my second wind. I'm about to run now. Amen, amen. As the invitation is given, perhaps Christ has spoken to you and said to you, be encouraged. You're going to pursue and recover all. If you believe that today, that's called faith. Faith is not believing what you can see. It's believing that you have a good God that's going to reveal himself. Take that in today. If you're not saved, if you don't know Christ, or if you're not a part of our church family, we would love to have you to be a part of our family. So I'm going to give the invitation. If there's one today, will you come? Amen. Will you come? This is how we fight our battles. While the deacons are coming.